This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, the new WHFR Journal. Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. And it is Friday, and it is still the month of May. It's a Memorial Weekend, folks, so if you're just listening before you go out and hit the roads, some people didn't know it was Memorial Day weekend because, you know, that's actually May 30th, and oh boy. But the idea is to celebrate it, unless it falls on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Monday, you celebrate on the weekend before. And so this is May 23rd today, folks, if you are listening live, and if you're listening to our podcast from WHFR.FM, well, it could be any day up to 12 weeks from now. But happy that you're with us here. We are the new WHFR Journal. New because not the same thing as last week. And we talk about Dearborn and the surrounding area and issues that matter to you most, or should anyway, because they are mostly local issues. And where else are you going to find that on your radio dial in Detroit? Nowhere other than WHFR.FM, the station making waves. We're doing things a little differently here and trying to fill a niche, fill a need. I'm in the studio with my co-host today, Ned Apigian. How you doing, Ned?
Not bad, considering.
Okay, he's going to tell us about his trials this week.
But I didn't know it was Memorial Day weekend either.
That's right.
People have been telling me that, and I don't feel like Memorial Day.
Well, we'll have to talk about memories and why we should have them this weekend. Speed it up from next weekend, a little later, of course. We do have the Dearborn Press and Guide and the Dearborn Times Herald newspapers to refer to, but big event, big scoop here, folks. If you hadn't heard it before, there is another newspaper in Dearborn. That's right, another newspaper in Dearborn. Look out, Press and Guide, Times Herald. You got some competition now. The first issue of the first edition, Volume 1, Number 1, is being distributed around town, and we have our special guest, the editor, publisher, and looks like writer, too, of many of the stories in the paper, Dennis Reimar, is with us. So welcome, Dennis, to WHFR.
Thank you, Jay. My pleasure.
Okay, we got to make sure your microphone is turned on. This is we do mic checks on the air because they're more fun. Now let's see if we can hear you.
I hear him now in my ear.
Okay, very good. Dennis, tell us about the Dearborn Alternative News. That's the name of the paper. First of all, what is it all about? What sort of audience were you trying for here in Dearborn? Let's just start with that, because there's it's interesting. It's not just another regular newspaper.
Well, no, Jay. It's actually, it's mostly satire right now. We have a special extra section. We call it the extra, and that will consist of things that aren't necessarily in the other papers that you referred to. And then it'll be more of a community neighborhood thing. Mm-hmm. Stories that probably aren't right for the more established print publications. Mm-hmm. But we like the satire idea. Humor gets people's attention. Sometimes all we need is something to entertain us, and that's what we're hoping to accomplish.
Right on the front cover. And satire, folks, does require a little bit of attention, because you might read some of these stories, and if you don't know that the Dearborn Alternative News is mostly satire, except for their extra section, you might think some of these are real stories. Now, in Dearborn, I'm not sure how many people actually read or know of a national paper, or international from their website, called The Onion.
Sure.
And The Onion actually comes up with fake stories, but based on maybe some real people in some ways, and sometimes not. And it's just a ridiculous exaggeration, but they're usually trying to make some social commentary or point, but takes a little bit of attention to the exaggeration to see what the humor and what fun they're really having with these events. For example, just one headline that's on your front page that it says in other news, although I'm not sure it's followed up with later, but Dearborn man fired from orange juice factory because he can't concentrate. Bad pun, right? And if you see a lot of puns, that is words that, you know, are used out of context or in silly, exaggerated ways, that might be a clue that it's satire. But, you know, in some cases, I read some of these stories. There's one about an HFCC teacher, whether or not she really is a teacher here. And I thought the story sounded pretty true all the way through. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Thank you.
I hope I'm kidding anyway. Some of these are hilarious, and I'd like to feature one of them, or you could even read one of them out loud to give our folks an idea. I've got one in mind here for you. But first of all, Dennis, this is Dennis Ryan Mars, who is the editor-publisher of the Dearborn Alternative News, a new paper in town. Of course, their masthead is humorous, your community's premier news source. Premier. And, of course, whatever that means, you know, premium. Top of the line. That's right. We love that. But, Dennis, tell us a little bit about your background and maybe how this project came about, first of all.
Well, my background, my family and I have lived in Dearborn for going on about 10 years, and I was a fixture at Chuck Muir's Big Fish for a lot of that time.
Oh, a lighting fixture?
No, actually, no, I was a
fun. Look out. Yeah.
I was in the back.
Hanging from the ceiling, folks.
Well,
cooking in the back room.
Yeah. The Big Fish was an awesome opportunity to meet a lot of the people in Dearborn because, Jay, I think you've even said that was someplace that you went frequently.
Many times, still do, yeah, even though it's changed over the years, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, after 10 years, I looked at it, at my opportunities. I've always wanted to do something like this, and a gentleman and I, a co-worker, got together, and we actually put out a sports paper, short-lived. But we learned a lot about the publishing process. And from there, I did quit the Big Fish to do another publication, completely satire for the restaurant industry. It was called Don't Tip the Waiter. And we really flourished in Ann Arbor and did a lot of different things, learned a lot as we went along. And when we were thinking about the opportunities in Dearborn, it seems like if a tastefully done satire would go over well. There's a nice mix of people in the area. I got to know a lot of them. And so far, just from after this first issue, it's been embraced. We're excited.
I think, number one, with all of the things going on in the world today, we have to keep our sense of humor going. And but we also have to, I mean, the good thing about satire, and of course one of my favorite TV shows is Jon Stewart's The Daily Show on Comedy
Absolutely.
Central, as many people watch that, either Mondays to Thursday nights, folks, at 11, which is the new episode, although 1 week in four, like this week, it's not new, it's reruns, because they have to have time to develop their story ideas and their satires and so on and get ready for the next 3 weeks. But it's also on at 8 p.m., one day delayed, too, if you'd like to catch that. But, you know, there's a lot of very significant things that need to be poked fun at. I mean, some things are so silly, so stupid, but are still going on as if they're good that, you know, comedians, satirists, somebody has to show that how crazy this is. And when you point out the craziness, or at least the craziness of certain issues, I think people gives them a chance to rethink those issues, you know, and maybe find out a better way or something else to support rather than continuing the stuff that really isn't working anymore or is really doesn't have much logic behind it. So I think I'm commending you, first of all, for this kind of approach, or at least primarily. And it's interesting that, you, as you pointed out, that your extra section, and I hope it can continue, is pointing out news that the other two weeklies in Dearborn may not choose to incorporate because, in a way, it's too local, too limited.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's a good point.
And, for example, there's a picture on the cover of two lovely young folks that posed for this picture before the Edsel Ford prom that just happened. Corey Palmer, I believe, is one of your writers, too. But
he is.
Yeah. So that's how he got his picture.
yeah. Well, you have to compensate them somehow, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah. No, but I mean, that's cool because usually wouldn't have pictures of the prom. Some proms are big affairs. I'm sure most are in Dearborn High Schools, and they might get a picture or two in, but usually it wouldn't be covered. So that's kind of that angle, that local connection. But newspaper publishing, you know, that's pretty expensive stuff, isn't it? Newsprint, the paper itself, the ink. I mean, this is this is a free paper right now.
It's a free paper right now, and actually, the perception is that paper and ink aren't as expensive because as you go up in number of copies, obviously the price per copy goes down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I was
then you need advertising.
Then you need advertisers. And, well, for me, I was very surprised. Remember, this is my technically fourth go at publishing, including the sports paper and Don't Tip
the
Waiter.
So you already knew what the cost involved.
Well, actually, I wasn't prepared for because of the cost of shipping now.
Oh.
With gas, things went up considerably. Yeah. So, but it's still an effective way. A lot of people ask me, they say, why don't just do it on the web? You know, you pay for your domain, your hosting, and then you have color for free. I don't know. I'm maybe a little bit old school, but I like having the tangible print publication in my mm-hmm. hands, you know?
Well, something like this, I mean, especially as it gets started, there's real value, and I teach Intro to Telecom. In fact, just this week, we were talking about newspapers. I mean, it's like 1 week for every major electronic medium, you know, that's the intro class. And one of the things that's totally true about newspapers is that the circulation is not the whole story, as you can probably tell your advertisers or potential advertisers. It's pass-through readership.
Absolutely.
In other words, it's the when the paper is out there in physical form, people say, this is really interesting or curious or weird or something, and they'll give it to somebody else. It'll be around their house a little longer because it's not just, well, like advertising, like the shopping news or something per se, and there's nothing wrong with that if you're looking for something, I guess, folks, or Auto Trader Times or whatever they're called. But something like this, it's bound to stay around a few days, and family, friends, it's going to get seen by many more people. The websites, of course, you can track the number of people that go there and look at your pages. I understand that you are working to trying to get a web component going for this.
It will be ready within the next few days. I would anticipate mm-hmm. by the beginning of the week we'll have the website up and running.
Mm-hmm. But I totally agree, and especially for advertising, too. At the outset, you need the hard copy so that you can talk about the increased numbers of pass-along readers. I just found this yesterday in the Fine Arts Building here at Henry Ford Community College. Obviously, it's in other buildings on this campus, too, now.
Absolutely.
And I've shown it to five or six people myself already and brought it up at the staff meeting yesterday because our WHFR mission and goal is very much in line with trying to provide news and information as well as music and entertainment news that the other radio and TV stations in the area as well as sometimes the local newspapers don't cover. So our missions are very similar, albeit different approaches. People might think my show is mostly satire. It's not. It's not. But that is the primary goal, or at least current focus of most of your pages right now.
But we have alternative music and alternative news. That fits.
We know the name. We know the word and the meaning. That's true. We are talking here to Dennis Reimars, who is the editor-publisher of a new Dearborn newspaper, the Dearborn Alternative News. Where else other than Henry Ford Community College could they pick up this first issue right now before they're all gone?
Well, it's so difficult to say because when I throw them in the air, it depends where
where the wind takes them.
Exactly. Well, the advertisers, every advertiser carries them.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. we're at the normal, what I would say, the logical places like coffee shops, the used bookstore on the end of by Michigan and Telegraph, you know, and there's a phone number in there. So if people are looking for it, if they want extra copies, they can call us and we'll definitely fill them in on the best place or mail to them.
Okay. There's about a dozen or so, and I'm not advertising these advertisers, folks, because we're a non-commercial station, but Adventure Bicycles on Monroe Street, the Hotspot Cafe on Michigan Avenue, Devin Maloney's
Image.
I want to say image. I knew it was something fancy. On Monroe Street, that's a hairstylist salon.
Yeah.
Chris Enger's Florist and Greenhouse, which is also on one. That's on Woodamere.
Mm-hmm.
Woodamere. And let's see, on the back here we have the Institute for Health Professions on Outer Drive. Pizza place called Dino's. Very popular name for pizza places,
sure.
But that's on Monroe Street. And Paul Keyes, a computer consultant, are some of the first, just some of the first advertisers. I might have missed someone. So,
well, we had to turn a lot of people away.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. But you know, we have underwriting here at WHFR, and we like to give attention, say thank you to people that help to support our alternative purpose too. And I know some of the people that you've already talked to me before the show about. Dearborn Tavern is mentioned in here. Real estate broker is in here too. Wayne in Oakland County. Real Estate Dreams is the name of that company too, are in there also. So some of these people, well, you know, I'm not sure what your rates are. It depends. But, you know, when people come to advertise, and we don't call it that again.
To promote themselves.
They sponsor our shows, and we call them underwriters.
Okay.
We give them rates that are extremely reasonable compared to the other papers, other media. Maybe we don't have as many readers or viewers or listeners or, you know, but that's why the rates are somewhat lower, at least right now anyway. But also we're getting to an audience that is more specific, perhaps people that are looking for something different, a little out of the ordinary, and that is maybe it goes across the usual demographics. I mean, there's Ned and I are not in high school, let's just mention that anymore.
I graduated.
Yes, he did graduate. Yeah, that, I'm not talking about my experience, but I had to become a college professor somehow. And so we have all ages and genders and ethnic backgrounds here on the WHFR staff, and our programming reflects that, all those differences. We know that the people tuning into us are people that want something different, that are eager to try something new and different too, for that matter. So I'm sure that you're trying to tell some of the smaller businesses in Dearborn about this opportunity that they can get attention through your journal too. You hope, I guess, to try to keep it free in terms of individual readership.
Absolutely, and I'm not trying to make any statements about the economy right now so much as one of the things when we approach smaller businesses and some of the more established entities may have higher rates, and they deserve them. They know what the market will bear. But some of the smaller businesses may not have be able to take advantage of those opportunities. So what we're trying to do is, we're trying to serve the community without sounding too, grandiose. We
right.
definitely want to make this available, not only the content to the readers, but also the ability to promote themselves. And I love it because the businesses we approach, the ones that get it,
mm-hmm.
Realize they can't take themselves too seriously, that this is something that this is a unique tool. Like you have your niche.
They're calling us already.
Oh boy!
No, it's
all right. Well, listen, I'm not here.
It's Ned's phone. Right? Okay. We'll give the email that's in the paper and the phone number for those people who might be more interested or looking for trying to find a copy and
or somebody that may even want to write for us. I would love
that. Of course.
That.
Yes. Yes. We will continue to do that. We're talking with Dennis Rymarz. That's Rymarz. In case you want to get your lawyers going or something on some of the stories. Why don't we feature one story here? And Dennis, are you enough of a performance ego-generated person that could you read the one about the new cliche cafe?
That's really interesting that you picked that one. Okay.
Yeah. It's not the headline story, folks, and there's a lot of interesting things, but it's short. You know, we only have so much time here. We're not going to give Dennis the whole hour. What do you think is?
You know, we want to check whether you got the John secondary voice or enunciation.
You're not giving me the. I can't go home. My mother-in-law's at my house.
This is your air check here. So, but if you would, this is satire, folks. But it gives you an idea, and this is intentionally written this way because it is a. Supposedly a new business in Dearborn called the Cliché Cafe. And just as background, folks, a cliché is a old, tired phrase or metaphor.
Okay. French word.
Yes, it's a French word.
Actually, it's not, is it?
It's got the little accent aigu over the E, so it's written as a French word. But
okay. Told that the word cliché comes from the old printing presses, the sound that they made. They would have certain phrases that were used so often that they would have those ready to go in the old printing presses. And that no, okay, he's rolling his eyes.
They go clink.
The funny thing about this particular article is many people that are just incredibly funny and have great satire backgrounds looked at it, read it, and said, "I don't get it."
Right, of course. Yes,
and the point is that we read this every day.
This is an example also maybe of bad writing. I always try to point this out to the students that are writing film essays or whatever. Is that that cliches. Are actually keeping people from thinking accurately and specifically about what they really see. In other words, if you use too many cliches, you're using other people's words and phrases, not your own. It doesn't show that you are thinking or that you are trying to really reveal what you see when you depend on these tired old phrases. Well, go ahead.
Now you're stealing my thunder.
I know, but let's go ahead. They have to pick them out. We're not going to tell them which are the cliches here. I won't stop you.
Pick a sentence.
You can tell them at the end. This
is Dennis Reimar is in a story from the first issue of Dearborn Alternative.
The headline is, "The New Cliché Cafe Owners Think Outside the Box." While area cafes are a dime a dozen, Dearborn and the surrounding region boasts no less than 32. The new Cliché Cafe appears to have hit one out of the ballpark. Ali Saad and Masoud Yash, co-owners of the establishment, admit they took a bath on their last venture, but insist every cloud has a silver lining, and this time around they are laughing all the way to the bank. The business Saad and Yash owned together prior to the Cliché Cafe was an endangered species-based theme restaurant. And while many thought the concept was the greatest thing since sliced bread, the owners quickly realized they bit off more than they could chew. "We knew we were breaking new ground," said Saad, "and any time an idea goes against the grain, you are really going out on a limb. Yash and I bet the farm on that one, but at the end of the day, we knew we had placed all our eggs in one basket and found ourselves between a rock and a hard place. We had no choice but to run for the hills and cut our losses. After the initial venture went under, it wasn't long before we saw the light at the end of the tunnel. Pooling their ideas and limited resources, together they came up with the concept for the cafe and jumped in feet first," said Yash. "Saad and I got right on our horses, figuring it was no use crying over spilt milk. We kept reminding ourselves that, if at first you don't succeed." Following the philosophy that whatever doesn't kill them makes them stronger, the partners proceeded to blaze a new trail in the area of concept cafes. "Either you sink or swim," said Saad, "and worst case scenario, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn sometimes. Sure, we face challenges on a daily basis, but if we nip them in the bud and stay the course, there's no way on God's green earth we won't at least keep our heads above water, knock on wood." Yash said they've learned that slow and steady wins the race and wouldn't give this project up for anything. "Not for all the tea in China," said Yash, to coin a phrase.
Great job. It's really a great example of what not to do as a college student, folks, if you're writing an essay.
It's a great example as to what cliches are.
Yeah, well, right. And if people, you know, I think I'm giving this to my students.
Didn't know there were that many.
Or forwarding this to the English department to see if students can identify which are the cliches. Of course, they are probably go through underlining almost every
Yeah, I think so. We stopped at like 62 sentence, or something.
Yeah, there's at least that there. But it might be a great new marketing concept. Now, I have to ask you about the horoscope page.
Doesn't give you much information.
No.
The horoscope page, and I won't say which is my sign because that would really be a problem. Think of the groupies in that. But
you're publishing the horoscopes.
It suggests at the end of it.
You got a different twist on it.
That I should talk to my partner and suggest a threesome.
There you go.
But I've read the horoscope in Metro Times, and I swear that sounds like satire. I swear, because it's the craziest Looney Tunes syndicated horoscope. horoscope, it can't be based on anything that a professional astrologist would do. So do you want to admit who's responsible for these? Or
For these particular?
Yeah, where they came from, yeah.
The product of my imagination. And
oh, he.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, everything is based a little bit in fact, right?
Well, you know, they say if you...
It's in the paper, it has to be real, Jay.
Right.
Nostradamus and other prophets of great repute, you know...
Esteem,
yeah, not ill repute necessarily. But they say if you speak in general enough terms... And you prophesize enough, a few of them are bound to become fairly accurate.
Yeah, so I know.
And so people will start identifying with these things, and almost anybody, wherever they're coming from, even if you just made up every single word here, will say, oh, I know what he means. That's happening in my life. And so, but each one ends with a pretty ridiculous zinger, you know. And so I hope people get the satire from that. But I swear the Metro Times guy is trying to be serious, but it's just the most Looney Tunes stuff.
I could see where somebody'd want to read that every week, and it's different every week.
The horoscopes?
Yeah.
Oh no, ours are the same every week.
Yeah.
You think this is easy?
No. Yeah.
No, it's
no. The reality is, we did Don't Tip the Waiter, and I remember we were in Royal Oak. It just seemed like a logical place to launch the initial issue. And
it's a good place to put them all in the restaurants.
It was absolutely wonderful. That was our focus. And so many people, is this real? Is this real? And that's, again, why we started the extra section with a little commentary on.
Let's just talk about that sort of to sum up here. That it's let's see, how many pages we've got here?
I didn't know satire was completely false. I thought it was a way of making fun of something real in order to get a different way to look at it. Or actually,
sometimes called a parody, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought about it as being completely false.
Well, no. Satire is usually based on something that is true that people want to make a point about, a social commentary on, and so they exaggerate the implications or consequences of something.
That's what your guys
are
doing at
night. The extent of something, right.
You know, whatever you call them.
For example, Jonathan Swift in the 1600s, 1700s in England wrote an essay called A Modest Proposal. And very famous, taught in English classes and first semester English often. And it's suggesting that kids that are unwanted would be more profitable for society to be sold and used for food and leather goods. He's writing this down. Because, you know, apparently a lot of kids are beaten up and they're on the street homeless and they're not being taken care of anyway. So if the parents are desperate for money, why don't they sell a few of them and we could have food stuff to feed the needy.
How about medical body parts? It's more useful.
This is just, you know, so inhumane. It's the... Because he leaves out the humanity factor in his logical consideration, smart people realize, oh, it's satire. Because nobody could be so inhumane and not think about, you know, well, killing is wrong, but especially kids. But he points out, in society, here are the facts, folks. These kids are being beaten, they're not being taken care of, and a lot of them are starving to death. So let's turn it around then and provide food and fine gloves for the rich people, leather goods made out of their tanned hides. And of course, you know, still some students read that today and say, this is... terrible. No one would say it's satire. So it's often used as an example. And Swift, of course, who's also famous, if anybody reads this as a comics, classic comics edition, for Gulliver's Travels, where Gulliver goes to many places in the world, and people mostly think of it as where he goes to a place, and he's very small, and it's a land of giants. And but of course he's making comments about these different aspects of culture or different societies with his exaggerations about
then
Gulliver's Travels.
Then he becomes the giant in another land.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, right. It's a switcheroo there. One of your local extra stories is about, and I thought this was valuable, Yahoo.
Yeah,
we'll do that too. But the Yahoo group offers freebies for area residents. And I know some other communities around the United States do this, but Dearborn Free Cycle. Just tell us briefly about that.
It was funny because...
Is it really free?
Is anything really free? No. We were looking for different ways, creative ways to furnish our new offices on a budget. And I was speaking with a friend of mine, and he said, have you ever heard of freecycle.com? So, of course, I went on that, and it's a Yahoo group. I'm a big proponent of Yahoo Groups, and I found this, and it is just, it's really cool. There's a lot of different stuff on there. It varies. I mean, there's different things. Most of it is gently used. You can find some new things on there, but you can also put what you're looking for, and other group members will.
But it's intended to be free or an exchange? Or a swap?
Well, it doesn't even have to be a swap. This is what I have. It'll just be porch pickup.
Come and get it.
Come and get it. And then there is another one that is, I don't remember the name. It's like Cheap Cycle. It's extremely inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is a great way for people to get to unload their things that are still worthy of being used at the same time not having a garage sale.
Nothing wrong with pointing that out. We don't want to do the longer story, but folks, he is profiling one of his advertisers. And that's just great to know the background, how people get in the business, like how we asked you, how you got in this business, and so on. And I'm sure that the extra section will be very special. I hope it's included in the future, too.
Absolutely.
As space permits, of course. And, okay, well, we've got to sum up here, and I don't know if we can end with a joke, Dennis.
We never said how many pages it was.
It's
the debut issue is 12 pages,
right.
And that will expand based on, as we learn more and more, what people want to read.
Dennis Rymarz, R-Y-M-A-R-Z, is the editor-publisher and frequent writer. Editorial assistant Jennifer Rymarz, and there are some other Rymarz there, too,
sure.
Contribute writers. Well, it's such a common name.
Yeah.
We know that Rymarz is probably next door to everyone, and so if you are Rymarz and he doesn't know about you, folks, why don't you give him a call and jump onto the masthead?
Unless you're in Germany or
yeah.
something.
Now, your email address, because the website is still coming, is contact at DearbornAlternativeNews.com.
Mm-hmm.
That works right now?
That works beautiful.
Okay, and there's a phone number. I'll just say it twice. Dearborn Alternative News, 313 area code, 406-6987. So Dearborn Alternative News, if you want to try to find a copy or talk to Dennis or volunteer to be a writer, in fact, 313-406-6987. Is there a final joke or a satire that you can do about WHFR, Dennis?
I'd like to let my writing talk.
Yes.
I wanted to mention that if there are, the people in the area, that if they have something that's significant to them, it's significant to us too then, and we would love to share that. So we will take photos, digital photos, and there are guidelines in here in the extra section, and I want people to realize that.
Okay, yeah. So if you can try to pick that up, is there a lot of people pick up local papers at the center? Did you get permission to drop off over there yet? That's the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center at Greenfield in Michigan.
I've never heard of we've not been there
this
yet.
This guy is so. So
well,
much
well how about the college campuses that you
yeah,
MD
well, he's sure,
here?
Yeah.
We've hit both of the campuses,
right?
And this is it's in I guess what I would call the logical places, like the coffee shops and what is the little cafe and places like that.
Mm-hmm. How about the grocery stores that the Arab newspapers, which are free, are there at their restaurants at people are used to picking up free things there.
Anywhere people can pick up free things, we'd like to be.
Yeah.
That's where you should be.
They're just getting started, folks. First issue, so they're going to be out there more. But we hope at least that I can find a copy, whatever your publishing schedule is. I know you probably hope to get weekly, but it's expensive. So
we're every 2 weeks right now.
Every 2 weeks he's going to try for us. So.
Actually, the radio station's a good place for him to begin. They should have photos of all the characters we have on the air. The antics they go through while you're listening to them.
I'm looking for local stories all the time. The News Herald and the Press Guide are nice enough to allow us to do it without suing us for anything I say about their stories. And if you could not get your lawyers into a lather about, I'd be glad to feature a story every now and then from your paper, too.
That would
Dennis.
Be wonderful.
So,
thank you.
Just because, hey, people need to know.
they need to know.
Sometimes. Maybe not what I cover, but they do need to. So thank you for
the important things in life they don't need to know.
Thank you for coming by today. Dennis Rymarz from the Dearborn Alternative News. Ned and I will be back after this non-commercial message.
Yeah, we have some music now. Change the pace.
We do? Okay.
Yeah, there's usually music on the PSA.
Here it comes, yeah.
Henry Ford Community College has a lot to offer: a credit transfer guarantee, a job skills guarantee, and a tuition freeze guarantee. Henry Ford Community College summer session classes begin Tuesday, June 24th. Fall semester classes begin Thursday, August 21st. Be sure to call 1-800-585-HFCC for registration information, or check the website at hfcc.edu. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice guaranteed.
And we're back with more of the new WHFR Journal for Friday, May 23rd, 2008. Jay Koronick here, along with Ned Apigian. So, Ned, tell us about...
We had that dead air because we were escorting our guests out the door.
Yeah, you didn't want to leave, you know. Give these people free airtime, and boy, no. Dennis is a great guy.
Actually, you could have stayed and listened to the rest, find out what's in the regular newspaper.
I'm all choked up here. But what were you doing earlier today? You were doing some. You were helping people get to some activity?
I'm on the board of directors of a senior citizens building, and once a month I take them, those who qualify with income, to Focus Hope and in Inkster, and they get their share of free food. It's a lot of things that Focus Hope
does.
Yeah,
I didn't know that Focus Hope did a food thing.
That's... Yeah, everybody thought it was just training. They have a whole complex. And is it in Detroit or Highland Park on Oakman Boulevard where they...
Really?
The old Accelo plant or something.
And who qualifies for the free food?
I think your total income has to be less than $1,100 a month.
Okay. How would they find out about this or put in a reservation or qualify?
It seems, well, the people that live in senior citizen housing, the management there, in order to qualify to live in such a place.
Okay. So they would notify their residents there about
those
it.
That are interested, because usually those people are going. But based on my experience, I see many people drive up in cars.
Their own
cars individually.
In fact,
most of the people, it's very rare that you see at least the bus from our building. So,
okay,
people are aware.
Okay. So
there's more than Focus Hope. There's others, too.
So you drove some people yourself, or you just went with the group?
No, I take them on the bus. We have a bus in the building.
Yeah,
and,
right.
I think today we had 7 or 8 people.
Well, that's
great. There's 150 people in the building, so you can see everybody... doesn't take advantage of it.
But you don't have to be a resident of one of those facilities to take advantage. And if you want more information, I'm sure there's a phone number locally,
Focus Hope.
Well,
first of all, you could call Focus Hope, and they could tell you where their several locations are.
Is there a speaker or other things going on other than the meal?
No. Oh, this is that's a different kind of thing. Like the city.
Okay.
What happens is it's like you're going grocery shopping.
Oh, I see.
You know, there's so much milk, canned goods,
great.
Cereal, rice, macaroni, spaghetti.
So it's peanut
butter,
donated foodstuffs, and they can
from
select
corporations,
and make choices.
Yeah, right. I don't know exactly where it all comes from. Sometimes there's vegetables. Today there were vegetables. There's bread. You can take a
wonderful.
Loaf. Bread with you.
Okay, I understand. Well, no, there are a lot of programs.
No, at our senior citizens facilities that I'm familiar in Dearborn Heights, you can go there. You sign up and you get lunch for $1.75.
Okay.
And
that's a good deal. Boy.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at those places, they're gigantic former elementary schools with 5 people in them.
Really? Oh, I see. Okay. Well, my story my senior story, as long as you shared that, is that I just qualified for Social Security yesterday.
Yesterday only? Or?
No, no, no. Yesterday I got a call. I put in an online application. Again, I am minimum age of 62 where you can qualify at a certain amount, even though my full retirement age.
That didn't change when they 66. Went from 65 to 66 and
62 stayed pretty much the same. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Now it's 66 for anyone born 1945.
And then increases.
Sometime in 45 and after. And yes, I think it is a higher age for those born significantly later. But for me, 66 is the full retirement age, but I qualify at 62 for monthly payments, and it was so cool. It took only about an hour, and I had to remember like birth dates and marriage dates and things, social security number, but it only took about an hour online. That's ssa.gov, Social Security Administration.
They ask you for an hour. They know your number. Once you give them your number,
well, no, they want to know if I, previously received any sort of payments, or if a wife or former wife had ever gotten disability from the Social Security, because that would change your amounts. And so they really want to know if you've already received or been receiving, or within your family unit, any other monies from the government. And so you did go down just a list of questions. Maybe it's 12 or 15 computer pages, that you have to answer. But it's all very simple things. Mostly I just put no, because I didn't have any other situations that would apply here. But it was cool because they have this all online.
Will they send it to you? A day after, 30 days after the birth date?
Let me tell you that for people that are
need to know.
Of this certain age might want to know that it's very easy. To do. It's very easy to find out information at that website, SSA, Social Security Administration.gov, G-O-V. To apply, actually, and there's different categories of what do you got to think about before you retire and getting ready to retire, and then how to apply if you think now's the time. Very interesting, because they wanted, according to the website, some documents about, my official birth certificate. They had to see that in person, they said, and some other things. And so I sent away for a copy. I had a copy of a copy.
Mom and Dad still had it.
Things like that. But I got a phone call yesterday, one day after I filed, from their online office in Chicago that handles these applications. And a very pleasant woman said, "You got it." I said, "What? You we'll start the checks. When do you officially retire?" I said, "July 15th, that's when I start not having my regular pay. And you're considered retired. You don't have to be fired or officially retire from a job, but if you're making less than $1,130 a month and you're of the right age, like 62 in my case, you're retired, folks. And you can qualify for these payments to start.
That doesn't include your pension or anything. They're talking
pensions are not work money. No, if you're working for money, pensions are not included in that.
Right,
if you're working at a job and they're paying you for work done, then, of course, that's what adds up to the 1130. But I finished this full semester, and although I'm still working part-time at the college, I'm not officially retired, I qualify to start getting that check because my money is less than $11.30 a month.
Right, I was going to say the danger.
That's not $11.30, that's $1,130 a month. You're considered retired, and if you're a certain age, and I found out that the check will come, the first check will come, it's always the second Wednesday. They just get one check a month. Second Wednesday of every month. Oh, it is.
It's different based on your birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, mine is the second Wednesday.
Mine is the third Wednesday. My wife's is in fourth Wednesday.
I told them that the first clear month that I'm doing 11:30 or less is July, and so my check will be coming the second Wednesday in August. And from then on. Now, of course, if I make more than 11:30,
2 weeks in July, you could be making too much money.
I have to be careful in any month in the future until I turn 66. After the magic 66th birthday, I can go back to work. I can make a million, a billion, but my checks continue. Now, is that fair?
It's a stupid system.
Well, there's all kinds of things, and I could go on for an hour or two here about the fairness, and we talked a little bit about it this last week too, yeah. So we won't go on further here. But you have any questions about retirement, don't call Ned and I, but we could talk your head off, okay? Go to ssa.gov. And by the way, there is a local Social Security Administration office here in Dearborn, Outer Drive, just north of Michigan Avenue, in that shopping center or
Garrison
office
Building,
center.
I think it's called.
Yeah. And you can call them or you can go by in person to have a question answered. But they do have, again, an 800 toll-free number, as well as online. You can email them, and they'll get back to you that way. And I was just and the woman said, oh, by the way, don't worry about that birth certificate. I said, but I'm waiting right now for the UPS guy to make a special delivery. He said, nah, we know you exist. We got your file here. You know,
I know.
You've been working for 40-plus years. We know who you are. You know, you gave us all the info. Forget about that.
What was the actual reduction? Was it 30%, 60% of what the check would have been if you were 66? Did they tell you?
Yes, it's 30%. It would be 30% higher if I would have started when I was 66. But in my case, not to brag here at all, but I'd be missing out on 3.5 years of payments.
It never makes any sense. You should always collect
some. Right. Some retirement advisors say, well, you should wait. You'll get more later. But in fact, in my case, it's almost $70,000, unless I start working at some job, and then that'll be reduced. But it's $70,000 I'd miss out on in the next 3.5 years
if I didn't
start the payments now.
When they send you your letter, you can see how many dollars you actually contributed. In the first year, you get all that money back.
Pretty much, yeah. A couple hundred thousand in your 40 years. So you can see why Social Security is going broke. I wanted to make a follow-up on that because it's in one of the papers. Give me Wednesday Times Herald here.
Wednesday Times Herald is here. No, there it is.
Okay.
Underneath
that's
pile.
Sunday Times. Nope, it's one other. Here it is. Okay. Hey, this is the new WHFR Journal, folks, on WHFR.fm, station making waves, where you can hear the pages turning, and you can hear us grabbing at the
Rush
papers.
Rush Limbaugh
right on
gets
the air.
Away with it and loves it.
Right. And let's see where it is. Oh, it is the Sunday Times. Okay.
Radio, you're not supposed to be able to do that, but Rush Limbaugh made it popular and crumples up the papers when he doesn't like the...
We're not being paid to be here, so we can be a little looser. Just because we believe in this. It's Frank Bewick, Frank Bewick's column, and of course I can't find the actual reference now, but he makes a point in one of these papers, unless I grabbed the wrong ones, that is, and thank you, Frank, he follows up on what I said
last week, which is
that, hey, why do people paying into Social Security, after they make more than $95,000 in that year, they don't have to pay anymore? They don't have to pay anymore, but they still get a check, even if they're millionaires when they retire. Yeah. We could save, and Frank has said this too, and maybe he was listening to this show
last
Friday.
Week we were talking. I think he was.
I hope he is, because he and I often come up with the same ideas at almost the same time, and that's got to mean something. You know, two great minds in the same gutter. No. Sorry, Frank, but in the same rut? No, in the same beautiful high plane of thought.
The reason why it doesn't work, it's a scare tactic. They keep saying, do you want to increase your Social Security tax?
Well,
and then they ought to ask, how many people make over $95,000?
It would totally, even if they just pay the same percentage, not an increased percentage over
$95,000,
just the same percent on up, we wouldn't have to worry about Social Security ever again. It would be totally funded, and even those real rich people could keep getting their checks, too, when they retire.
As long as they keep paying into it forever.
Well,
who cares?
Well, you know, I think that makes perfect sense, and I know that they say that most people, when I get rich, I want to keep all my money. Why should you be greedy when you get rich? You're not greedy. You're forced to not be greedy when you're poor. You still have to pay when you're poor. And I love equity as a basic principle. And I know that some people cannot afford it, and they do on their taxes get back all their withholding if they're not making a certain amount. It's too bad there's withholding in the first place. And by the way, this week in Michigan, it wasn't reported in the other news media, but I've been talking for several weeks now about the Michigan Fair Tax proposal.
Yes.
They've gotten 70,000 signatures. They still have 380,000 more to go in order to get this proposal on the ballot. But in
well, the one for the state of Michigan,
for the state
made,
of Michigan,
made a lot of sense to me, as I remember last week.
It certainly did. Yeah, but it was criticized. It was presented in Lansing to our legislators, and it was criticized by some of them. They said, "Well, you know, if it's just a consumption tax, then state government would really be up a creek, to use another cliche,
right?
Without a you know what?
Without a paddle?
Yeah. if all of our revenues coming in to pay for needed state services were based on just one type of tax, in other words, a consumption tax, but I say we all have to continue consuming, and that tax should be included on food and drugs. But at the outset, everybody gets every penny of their paycheck, that there's no withholding, and there's no hassle later. And the tax only increases from 6% to 10%. And it changes business taxes and everything in the whole state. That's all gone. The single business tax was supposedly so bad, it's been replaced. But many businesses say, we're paying more in the long run on this new tax than what we did before. And now they're thinking for Michigan business taxes are going to tax out-of-state businesses. And some people think that's a bad idea.
Well,
so,
at first they turned it on the individual, if you remember. And then they did away with that.
Right. There's a lot of criticism of the current tax situation. And, of course, the opinions expressed in this show are just those of myself and Ned's and anyone else we have on here, not necessarily anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, but ought to consider, folks. They're not telling you what to think about this. Ought to consider maybe supporting at least the ballot proposal so it can be more fully discussed, and you will get a chance to vote on it up or down if you vote in November. Michigan Fair Tax. I think it would make a big difference, and I think it would improve things overall. It's worth a try anyway.
If it gets all the signatures, I'm sure the arguments pro and con will then discussed.
All of the status quo people, including legislators, will be against it because it is a big change. Everybody is all the people that are in power now and are making money now will be against it because who knows what might happen. Ooh, even if it has all these logical arguments in favor of it, the status quo will be totally against it, and that's unfortunate. I think all new ideas should be thought of logically and thought through, not just taken on surface value. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it in detail. And then if it's of merit, we should make the change. Cut through a lot of dead wood, a lot of all these cliches. Cut through all the problems we're having now. And sure, there'll be new problems. But I think it'll be simpler if you're going to start over with a new plan that is very, very worthy. And remember, in terms of presidential candidates, who was in favor of the fair tax? Ron Paul.
I think Ron Paul.
And Mike Huckabee. Okay, so these people didn't get a lot of attention for their support of this, but they were all for it. For the country, for the U.S. government. Do away with the IRS, do away with income tax, and go to the fair tax, which is a consumption tax mostly. And for the poor people, and there's several issues here, but the poor people who can't afford to pay the tax, like on food or drugs, everybody, including rich people, will get a prebate check every month. This is true for the federal plan as well as the state plan, is that everybody will get a check every month from the government.
Based on the number of people per household?
Based on their expected income and the number of people in their household, I think. And I don't know, it's $300, $400. But that is to take care of everybody, including the rich people, for that first $30,000, $40,000 of income where they did have to pay a consumption tax on things they really need, you know, food and housing. And they'll get that rebated in advance every month. And if they can do this big refund checks from the federal government for the, you know, the encouragement of our economy, they certainly can do the prebate things. I just feel sorry for the homeless that don't have a way to get a check, you know, because they don't have an address.
Yeah, I've asked people that, why are you homeless? I mean, why don't you have a PO? Why aren't you able to get this?
Well,
grant from society.
I think that's of concern. Well, if they're not working, then they don't
have a PO box.
They can't have a prebate check because they're not working. They don't have any money in the first place to buy anything. But, well, they can beg. I mean, okay, we have to work that out so that that system, the present system is not fair for everyone, that's for sure, and a new system wouldn't be either. But thank you, Frank Bewick, for supporting the idea of at least security taxes, Social Security taxes from your
the question is
from
always,
your paychecks
the question
actually
is the limit.
Coming from everybody. Yeah, that the limit
the
should be done away
should
with.
Should the limit be unlimited? In other words, if you make $1 million, you pay up to that percentage, or does the percentage go
right.
down?
Right.
Why not? The percentage could go down for every 100,000 to 0.5%, 0.25%.
Right. My understanding is right now, even people making only 10 or 20,000 a year, they still have to pay into Social Security.
Yeah.
And it comes out of their check up front. So another plan would be, well, up to 40,000 a year, you don't pay any Social Security
right, that's
taxes.
That's the next thing, right?
There's ways to graduate it, you know, less percent when you're at the lower levels of income, and a higher percent. Or make it the same percent with everybody, or cap it at the top, which it is now, or cap it or start it.
Right now, the only
somewhere.
Talk is the following, to take
right.
the 95 and make it
that's right.
110.
Raise it a
and
little bit.
Not yeah. do anything sophisticated like exclude the first 30 or right. continue it or reduce the print. That's the sensible way to handle the problem.
Of course, yeah. I mean, these are first steps, and you can take it further. You don't have to do anything too radical.
Well, you know, there's this issue about socialism that we go around scaring people
yeah.
with. And those of you who are interested, go look at the socialist programs, La Follette, in the turn of the century, and all those dirty words and all those dirty programs we have today. Every
well,
one of them has been adopted by the major parties, and you go to the farm program and you'll see the biggest
yeah.
one.
conservatives and libertarians can point out the excesses, the corruption, the inappropriateness, and even the inequity of every large government program, but I suggest that's in every large bureaucracy anyway. If you're against large government, you're against large business too. I mean, that's my point, Glenn Beck, sorry, because big business doesn't have a very good record for efficiency and lack of corruption either.
So they'll just export all your jobs overseas
yeah,
so they can
say,
make more money.
Whenever you have a large organization that is run from the top down, you're bound to have problems, and you've got to keep working to straighten them out. And the federal government is no exception. Oh, yeah, they got their problems. But we know that in spite of the problems, Medicare works pretty well. Social Security works pretty well, and we want to keep them, okay? I mean, we do. Now, they got to be changed, they got to be modified, they got to be improved. I'm personally, as a teacher, in favor of public education.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want to go totally private, so that means that only the rich kids get a chance at a decent education.
My mother and father paid no school tax when they owned no property, and my sisters and I went to school free.
Right. There you go.
So what?
That's right. I, you know, public education, boy, it's got to be improved, folks. There's a lot of things. I'm just finished with one story here. We have 4 minutes left, 3 minutes as the clock on the counter here in
We're
front of me
We're having too
says.
Much fun again.
Yeah, Joanne Kurczynska coming in with big band music for 4 hours. Highway 61 is going to, we're going to start driving down Highway 61 with Joanne in just a couple of minutes. But the last story here about schools, that's
it's
called
budget.
It's called a segue. No, it's about the testing. This is only
the
Times Herald.
Yeah,
the Michigan Education Assessment Program. Area MEEP scores below the state average.
This is
not good, folks. I'm just saying we've got to do some changes and improvements in public education. Maybe we just have to change the test so it looks like we're doing better than we are.
Yeah, just
but
make
here's
it easy.
Here's the story very briefly. Area school, and this is from J. Patrick Pepper. A new name that I haven't noticed before at the Times Herald. Area school districts scored slightly below state averages. Just slightly below, okay.
Okay.
Even though the headline says below state average, but just slightly below in the 2007 MEEP test. It's a statewide standardized test administered annually to 3rd through 9th graders. And that's all according to scores that were released earlier this month.
What's the acronym mean on MEEP?
Michigan Educational Assessment program.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, ninth graders are only tested in social studies, whereas all other grades are tested also in math, writing, and reading. Students in fifth and ninth grades are also tested in science. Crestwood third graders far outpace their counterparts from Dearborn, District 7, and Westwood school districts. Now, Westwood locally has always been thought of as doing the worst of all of them.
Which
anyway.
One was better, did you say?
Crestwood.
That's really? In Dearborn
Heights.
That's in
Dearborn
Heights district.
Right, yeah. But Crestwood. Their proficiency scores of 97% in math. Boy, they're really doing the numbers out there
Carrie
in Crestwood.
Carrie did a good job out there when she was in the planetarium.
Okay, yeah. Carrie's eights, right. They would be 100% if she was still there teaching as well as doing the astronomy thing. Anyway, it's our friend Carrie Zaitz, who's been on our staff here as a science reporter and commentator, as well as often in the papers. She has a new job that I'll tell you about later if you want to know sometime, that she is now teaching at the Clara B. Ford Center, which is just north of us here at the college. So anyway, new full-time job. 73% they did in writing and 83% in English language arts. They're the highest scores posted regardless of grade among all area schools. And on the whole, Crestwood Elementary students scored at or slightly below state proficiency for all subject matter. So they're doing just fine. But in Dearborn, as in other districts, math scores showed a steady downward trend. That's never good. From 87.1% at the third grade level, now it's only 70.7%.
And did that have something to do with the foreign population of the schools?
This is math, Ned. Now, English, yes,
well,
it would.
Although
our immigrant populations are not so recently immigrated, you know, and we got to get out of here now. But and so, you know, when they first got here, if they didn't know English, they'd obviously be deficient and the scores would be lower. But they've been here, most of the immigrant population has been here quite a number of years now, and their English as a second language is improving.
There's always continual influx.
But math dropping from 87% to 70%. You don't need to be a math star to know that that's really bad.
Right.
In 1 year, in Dearborn, what the heck is going on here? That's almost
Dearborn was the premier district with Birmingham and West Bloomfield.
We will follow this in upcoming weeks here on the new WHFR Journal and find out what the new superintendant, as well as
say,
the old superintendent,
right?
has to say.
He's in the paper
say.
This week, too.
Yeah, well, he hasn't totally, I don't think he's signed the contract yet.
We don't know if we're going to give him a car or two, right?
Well, something like that. Well, thank you, Ned Apigian, for being with us today here.
Always my pleasure.
The new WHFR Journal, we got to go. And just remember out there, keep stirring things up. This is WHFR Dearborn, and we'll be back again next week with more local news and views. Take care out there.